for this energy program. Today's Bhagavad-Gita hour, chapter 3,
text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Sanjay Bhanurottamam.
Sanjay Bhanurottamam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Devim Saraswatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayamudirave.
Tato Jayamudirave.
Natta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Natta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavate Muttama Shloke.
Bhagavate Muttama Shloke.
Bhakte Bhavati Naishake.
Bhakte Bhavati Naishake.
Mukam karotu vachalam,
mukam karotu vachalam,
pangum nangayate girim,
pangum nangayate girim,
yat kripatam aham mande,
yat kripatam aham mande,
shri gurum dinatarinam,
shri gurum dinatarinam,
paramananda madhavam,
paramananda madhavam,
shri chaitanya ishwaram,
shri chaitanya ishwaram.
So first I'll read the shloka, then afterwards you can all repeat with me. Devan bhavayatanena,
Devan bhavayatanena,
De deva bhavayantuvaha,
De deva bhavayantuvaha,
Parasparam bhavayantaha,
Parasparam bhavayantaha,
Jeyaha param avakyata,
Jeyaha param avakyata,
Devan bhavayatanena,
Devan bhavayatanena,
De deva bhavayantuvaha, Parasparam bhavayantaha,
Parasparam bhavayantaha,
Jeyaha param avakyata,
Jeyaha param avakyata,
Devan bhavayatanena,
Devan bhavayatanena,
De deva bhavayantuvaha,
De deva bhavayantuvaha,
Parasparam bhavayantaha,
Parasparam bhavayantaha,
Jeyaha param avakyata, by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Om Agnana Timirandasya Agnana Chana Shalakaya Chakshorun Nalikamyena Tatsmai Shri Durudena Shri Chaitanya Manobhittam Tapitam Nena Bhutale Svayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri ஸ்ரீகுரும் வைஷ்ணவாம்சீரூபம் சகஜாசம் சகனா ரகுநாதானந்தம் சந்தீபம் சாத்வைதம் சாவதூதம் பரிஜனசகிதம் கிருஷ்ணச்சைதன்யதேவம் ஸ்ரீராதா கிருஷ்ணபாதான் சாகனலலிதான் ஸ்ரீ விசாகாந்விதாம்ச ஹே கிருஷ்ணா கருணா சிந்தோ தீனபந்தோ ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷா கோபிகா காஞ்சா நமோஸ்துதே விஷ்ணுபாதாய கிருஷ்ணபரிஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்திவேதாந்த ஸ்வாமிஜி நாமே நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவே கௌரவாச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷாய தன்யவாதே ஆச்சாரியே சதாரிணி ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணா சைதன்யா பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைதா கதாகர ஸ்ரீ மாதாதி கௌரவசவந்த ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே 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 ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே. The demigods, being beings who are sacrificed, will also please you, and thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will bring for all. Please repeat. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, and thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will bring for all. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. The demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs. The supply of air, light, water and all other benedictions for maintaining the body and the soul of every living entity is entrusted to the demigods, who are innumerable assistants in different parts of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their pleasures and displeasures are dependent on the performance of yajnas by the human being. Some of the yajnas are meant to satisfy particular demigods, but even in doing so, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all yajnas as the chief beneficiary. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna himself is the beneficiary of all kinds of yajnas, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Therefore, ultimate satisfaction of Yajnapati is the chief purpose of all yajnas. When these yajnas are perfectly performed, naturally the demigods in charge of different departments of supply are pleased, and there is no scarcity in the supply of natural products. Performance of yajnas has many side benefits, ultimately leading to liberation from material bondage. By performance of yajnas, all activities become purified, as it is stated in the Vedas, Ahara Shuddha Sattva Shuddhi Sattva Shuddha Dhruva Smriti Smriti Lambhe Sarva Granthina Vipra Mokshaha. By performance of yajnas, once eatables become sanctified and being eating sanctified foodstuffs, one's very existence becomes purified. By the purification of existence, finer tissues in the memory become sanctified, and when memory is sanctified, one can think of the path of liberation, and these combined together lead to Krishna consciousness, the great necessity of present day society. So today we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, titled Karma Yoga, and text 11. So, this is Bhagavad Gita. Let's shed some light as to what Bhagavad Gita is conveying and why Prabhupada has given such a wonderful literature and translated and unlettered so many of these purports, and he is giving Bhagavad Gita for us. As you all know, 5000 years ago, on the battlefield, you know, both the armies of Kauravas and the Pandavas are assembled, and on that battlefield, Arjuna, you know, being a great warrior, now he wants to see who are the opposition. See, usually it happens whenever there is battlefield, the Kshatriyas, you know, they want to assess the strength and weaknesses of their side and the strength and weaknesses of the opposite side as well. So when Arjuna asks Krishna, Ratam Sapa Isvene Arjuna, he asks Krishna, you please establish my chariot in between the two armies. So here, you know, the position of Krishna is being exalted by Arjuna himself. See, in the first shloka of this Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says that this Bhagavad Gita is a theme 6 times, and it has to be understood by the mercy of the Lord and by the mercy of the devotee of the Lord. So here, Arjuna, you know, clearly says that he is exalting the position of Krishna. He is saying, Achyuta. Achyuta means one who does not fall down. Achyuta. Achyuta means like us, we are all fallen conditioned souls. But Achyuta is Krishna who doesn't fall down. So he is asking Krishna to, establish the chariot between the two armies. So after seeing that, he sees many of his relatives, his gurus, his teachers, and everyone assembled on the battlefield, and he feels, very remorseful. Why is this? Because Prabhupada explains that, the pure devotee of the Lord has natural compassion for every living entity. And when he sees all these warriors and all these relatives, he naturally feels compassion and says that, I don't want to fight. Because why I don't want to fight is because everything I do, or even if I win the kingdom, and everything will be tainted in blood. And when the elders of the family are killed, then that leads to unwanted progeny. It's called Varnashankara. So these are the facts. Arjuna, being an exalted devotee, he gives the fact that he doesn't want to fight. But Krishna, he says, no, you have to fight. You don't have to, like you are an Arya. He says, Anyarya Jastam Ashwardhyam Akirtim Karam Arjuna. In the second chapter, he says that, you are an Arya. Arya means one who knows the higher principles of life. It's called Aryan. So you are naturally duty bound to fight. And then he is dissipating the ignorance of Arjuna, saying that you are talking on all the bodily concepts of life. He says you are affected by skin disease. Skin disease is, thinking that this is my relatives, my brother, my guru, everything. But eventually everyone is going to die one day. And he also says that, from time immemorial, you are existing, I am existing, and all the kings who are assembled here are all existing. So then what the best process is, you have to fight. You have to fight and you achieve all glory. That's what Krishna advises him. So basically, in the second chapter, Krishna summarizes that, one has to do his duty. And then he has to keep Krishna in the center of activities and execute his duties. In the second chapter itself, he says, in the second chapter, 48 shloka, Yogastaha Kuru Karmani Sangam Tattva Dhananjaya Siddhaya Asiddhayoho Samabhutva Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. So perform your duty equal, O Arjuna, abandoning all attachment to success or failure, that equanimity is called yoga. So he is advising. And one more thing, why Arjuna is asking Krishna is about, Arjuna knows the exalted position of Krishna, he being the supreme personality of Godhead. So he is asking the perfect teacher. See, for example, whenever there is a problem, or whenever there is a dispute between two parties, usually the lawyers and everyone, they refer to all those law books and all the previous judgments that were given in the court to give their interpretation, or just to put their theory forward. So similarly also, we have to accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as spoken by Krishna. Why? Because the Vyasa Maharaj is also saying here, Krishna is Bhagavan. Everywhere it is said Bhagavan Uvacha or Bhagavad Gita. Why Bhagavan means? Bhaga means six, one means opulences. So the Bhagavan means Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has six opulences. As we all know, the six opulences are all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, renunciation, and all faith. So Krishna is the complete warehouse of knowledge. So Arjuna is taking the right knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So after that, Krishna is saying you have to perform your yoga. So that forms the next chapter, that is Karma Yoga. So in Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavad Gita is divided into three main categories. That is based on yoga. Yoga means not merely physical exercises. Yoga means the linking of process. Prabhupada writes, just simply accepting the dictation of Krishna, that is called as yoga. So here, the Bhagavad Gita is, divided into three main yoga processes. The first six chapters combine the Karma Yoga. The first, then the 7th to 12th chapter combines the Jnana Yoga, and the last remaining 5th chapter the first 6 chapters constitute the Karma Yoga, the middle 6 chapters constitute the devotional service or Bhakti Yoga, and the last 6 chapters constitute the Jnana Yoga. So these are the yoga system that is spoken in Bhagavad Gita. So anyway, this third chapter, you know, speaks about Karma Yoga. Here it says, in the third chapter, in the previous verse, it says, in the beginning of the creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them saying, be thou happy, this yajna, because by this performance you will bestow you are everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. So the modern day science, you know, does not agree a creator. So that's why Prabhupada is giving in the first loka itself, this is a theistic approach. Theistic approach means a person is speaking Bhagavad Gita or a person is there, a supreme personality of Godhead. So he has created everything. But the modern day science, you know, due to their inefficiencies, they don't see that, you know, everything is created by the Lord. They say that nature has created. Nature has given us so many things. They just say nature, from nature everything is coming, or the Big Bang theory, everything is coming out, or due to the evolution cycle everything is coming up. But no, but here Krishna is saying, in the beginning, creation, the Lord sent all forth all the creatures. That is, I created every living entity. Or Krishna also says, Mama Ivamse Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. This is the thing that everything, everyone is part and parcel of me. So that's what Krishna is saying here. That's why we should accept what Krishna is saying here. So similarly, you know, Prabhupada gives one wonderful example how that there has to be a creator. For example, this electricity is there. The electricity is coming from nature, right? But still, there has to be an engineer who, you know, produces, who has to put his brain and energy into bringing this electricity here. There has to be an engineer who controls everything and to see that the electricity is running here. So similarly, if the don't you think that everything is running? Now the fruits are giving fruit and then tiny rains are coming. Don't you think a person is controlling them? So that's what Prabhupada is saying. So this entire Bhagavad Gita is a theistic approach. And next, he says, then when all the living entities are sent, you know, and then they have to perform yajna. Here it says, it is in this shloka, that the demigods being pleased by sacrifices will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign all. So Krishna, you know, he has created everything, and similarly, he has appointed many officers to take care of this material creation. Just like, you know, the government is running, so many officers, so many public servants are working just to keep the government in maintenance. So similarly, Krishna has appointed exalted devotees as demigods. The demigods are all cooperating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in running this entire show. So similarly, so the demigods, so we are duty bound to, you know, give the demigods whatever due, like the taxes, and like we, you know, normally what we pay taxes, you know, we pay house rent, we pay electricity charges, we pay water charges, the corporation, everything we pay. We pay, you know, just to see that, you know, all the services are given to us. All the services are provided by the government, and we are duty bound to pay the taxes to the government and see that all the services are given by the government. So similarly, when we have this material body, or when we have taken birth as material body, we have also paid taxes to this Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what Krishna is saying here. So it's like the demigods are not, you know, they are not, you are not paying directly to the demigods. Or the demigods are appointed officers. Just like when we give taxes to the taxman collects the income tax and he deposits to the government. So similarly also, when we perform all this yajna, then the yajna is eventually given to the yajna pati, or the ultimate benefactors of all the yajna. He says, Krishna says in this Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram yajna tapasa sarva loka maheshwaram suram sarva bhutana jatvama shanti mrityati. He says that, you know, he is the ultimate benefactor of all the yajna. Bhoktaram yajna tapasa. So yajna, he also means Vishnu. Yajna, the other word for Vishnu is also called yajna. Whenever there are yajna performed, all the benefits eventually go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But, you know, earlier times, in all the Vedic times, you know, the kings were used to perform all these great yajnas. They used to perform all these yajnas for the ultimate benefit of the society, and to see that all the condition to get back home, back to Godhead. So these yajnas used to, you know, they used to perform with lot of care and lot of devotion. But in this Kali Yuga, we can't perform all these yajnas. Why? Simply because, you know, the yajnas need lots of money. Millions and millions of dollars have had to be spent to perform a perfect yajna. And we also need, you know, qualified brahmanas who can perform these yajnas. See, for example, whenever there used to yajna take place in, say, Satya Yuga or in other times, there were priests who could light fire by just chanting mantras. So nowadays what we do, we light fire by matches. But those times, you know, people were so qualified, the brahmanas were so qualified that they used to light fire just by chanting mantras. So we don't find such kind of qualified people to perform such kinds of yajnas. So then Prabhupada has, you know, wonderfully given us this Sankirtana yajna. So and why, you know, why we can't also perform all these yajnas? There's a nice story of why we can't perform all these yajnas. How it will be very untruthful if we perform yajnas. That is, you know, in one instance in Mahabharata, there's a nice story. So when there is a brahmana and he has one son and the son is married, has a wife, and the brahmana has also a wife. So the family constitutes of four members. So it's a pious brahmana. He is always, you know, begging alms from home to home and then bringing whatever, collecting the alms, and then he is giving it to the to the Lord, or offering whatever he has got and offering to the Lord and taking prasad. So Indra there, you know, he just wants to test this brahmana. He wants to test how he is devoted to the Lord. So what happens is, one day, you know, there is lot of rain. The rain comes continuously because Indra is in charge of rain. So the rain, it rains continuously for weeks together. So the brahmana, whatever he has, whatever he has collected, they keep on offering to the Lord and then they consume it. So similarly, the rain doesn't stop at all. The rain keeps coming, and then finally what happens is they run out of food. So eventually, the brahmana will, what he will do, he says that to his son, since you both are young, we'll give all of our food to you, you take and then you live for some time. So whatever food that is left, they share among themselves, and then they give it to the daughter-in-law, and then the daughter-in-law consumes that, and then after the son, and so on, so forth. And gradually everyone starts to, you know, die, because the food gets over, and eventually all the food that they have, you know, they completely consume, and they all die of hunger. But still, they don't give the devotion to the Lord, and they are convinced that, you know, whatever is happening for their benefit. So they die immediately, they die in due course of time. And then, you know, Indra, you know, he becomes very pleased, and then he blesses them immensely, and then eventually they return back home, back to Godhead. But what happens is, there is one mongoose nearby that house, and then that mongoose, you know, eats little bit prasadam, that little tiny bit of prasadam, whatever is there, that eats, and then due to the power of the prasadam, that mongoose becomes half gold. It is half of the life and half gold. It becomes gold and it is also living. So that although it's living, it is half of it, the body is gold. So then that mongoose, you know, it travels, it lives on for ages. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, performs on Rajasiva Yajna. At that Yajna, you know, he calls all kings from all parts of the world, and everyone is visiting them, and then all sages and all warriors, millions of people are coming, and then they are spending millions of dollars and millions of money to perform this Yajna. Even Krishna, he is there and he is supervising the Yajna as well. So this mongoose, which has lived through the ages, he visits the palace of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Then when it sees Yudhishthira Maharaj, when the yajna is over, then it's time that they give all the alms and all the donations, whichever they have collected to the visiting kings and visiting priests. It's usually when the yajna is performed, they should see that, you know, all those people who have come, they should be satisfied with whatever, they should be satisfied to the fullest extent. If the brahmanas are coming, they should be fed well and seen that every brahmana is satisfied and every king is satisfied to the best of his position. So then only it is said that the yajna become perfect. So at that stage, you know, when Yudhishthira Maharaj is giving all his alms and all his donations to everyone, this mongoose also comes there, and then when he sees Yudhishthira Maharaj, it starts to roll on the ground. It starts to roll, and it's also laughing simultaneously. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj is surprised. Why is this doing such a thing? Then he asks, why you are doing like this? And then that mongoose replies, Yudhishthira Maharaj, whatever yajna you have done is a failure. Even though Krishna is personally present there, you know, it says that that whatever yajna you have performed is a failure. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj is surprised. Like he asks, what is the fault that I have done, and why you are saying that that yajna is not perfect? So then he says that that mongoose narrates the story of the Brahmana. And then he says, I just ate a little piece of whatever the Brahmana offered, and then my body became good. And now, from time immemorial, I am traveling all places and visiting all the yajnas places where, you know, yajnas are performed, and then I could eat the remnants there, and the other half of the body can also become good. So, whatever you have done is not perfect, because my other part of the body has not become good, and hence your yajna is a failure. So this is it. You know, so this is how it is. You know, even when someone wants to perform yajna, or when they claim outside that, you know, we are performing all the yajnas, that Gayatri Homa, so many Gana Homa, so many things they perform. But it is said clearly that it is not going to be successful. Because, you know, in Kali Yuga, the people are not qualified enough, and we don't have the materials also to perform the yajna. It says, like, recently there was an article in a newspaper saying that there's a huge shortage of butter. We are not getting the butter itself to perform the yajna. So how can we perform the yajna? But still, you know, the demigods have to be performed. The demigods have to be, they have to be satisfied. And that's how, you know, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself, has given this Sankirtana Yajna. Yajna means Vishnu, and whatever satisfaction for the Vishnu, when Vishnu is satisfied, then the entire the demigods and everyone is satisfied. So, he says, Yajnartha Karmano Anyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhanaha Tadartam Karma Kaunteya Mukta Sangha Samachara. So, you have to perform your duty. You have to keep me as the center and perform the duty. Yajnartha Karmano Anyatra Lokoyam Karma Bandhanaha. If you are not keeping me as the center, if you are just doing your duty, or you are just performing your yajna, then you will be born in this karma. Then only when you perform all your duties and all your rituals, keeping me as center and making me as the center, then you will be freed of this bondage. So it is absolutely necessary that, you know, we also do this yajna, and we also satisfy the demigod as well. Why? Because when we water the root, then the water will always when we water the root will go to the root, and then all the leaves, the branches, everything is satisfied. Similarly, when we do Sankirtan Yajna, when we try to please Krishna, then all the demigods and all the other Pitrus and everyone are satisfied. So this age in Kali Yuga, there is no other way other than this Sankirtana Yajna. He says, Prabhupada says here, the demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs. The supply of air, light, water and all other benedictions for maintaining the body and soul of every living entity is entrusted to demigods, who are innumerable assistants in different parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, like, you know, people are complaining that, you know, we don't have rain, or we don't have sufficient food grains and everything. But when we don't satisfy the demigods, then how can we expect the rain to come at right time? So that's why the Prabhupada is saying that, you know, all the demigods have to be satisfied. And their pleasures and displeasures are dependent on the performance of yajnas by human beings. Some of the yajnas are meant to satisfy the particular demigod. But even in doing so, Lord Vishnu is worshipped in all yajnas. So he clearly says that, you know, Vishnu has to be satisfied in all the yajnas. It is stated also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is himself the beneficiary of all kinds of yajnas. Therefore, the ultimate satisfaction of yajna is the purpose of all yajnas. So, So that's why, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this wonderful Sankirtana Yajna to see that, you know, we whatever time we have left or whatever little knowledge we have, you use that to the maximum extent and then perform Yajna and eventually satisfy Krishna and Vishnu. So this has double benefit. That's what Prabhupada is saying in all his purpose, in all his discourses, Prabhupada is urging that everyone take up this Sankirtana Yajna. Because you see that there are drugs, there are endemics like this swine flu, and there are so many diseases that keep coming as and when Kali Yuga progresses. So when Krishna is satisfied, and probably that alone will help solve all this problem. This problem keeps coming. So Prabhupada is urging everyone to take up this Sankirtana Yajna or Krishna consciousness. And accept Krishna. Here he says, you know, that Krishna consciousness and all these combined together lead to Krishna consciousness. So everyone needs to accept this Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, you know, has given this wonderful Krishna consciousness to everyone. He's gone everywhere and preached this Krishna consciousness. On a day-to-day basis also, if we accept Krishna consciousness, how wonderful it is for our world also we can see. For example, you know, whenever we start the day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and then going out, then the day becomes extremely easy. If someone is working, you know, his day becomes very blissful. It is totally like, you know, the day is going smoothly. So that is one of the benefits of, you know, accepting Krishna consciousness. Similarly, you know, like we in Krishna consciousness, we follow so many all the regulative principles. By these regulative principles also, you know, eventually the society is helped so much. For example, if people are, you know, under a lot of stress due to the working conditions and due to this material condition, there are a lot of stress. But when we sit and chant simply, and then when we start our work, then the stress factor is removed eventually. Like, you know, people spend millions of dollars just to get rid of the stress. But the Prabhupada is saying here, just sit at one place and chant Hare Krishna and all your stresses are gone. Similarly, you know, I was just reading one article in newspaper. They say that what are the precautionary measures to see that the swine flu is avoided. That is, wash your hands properly, take bath regularly, eat fresh food. These are the simple things which have to do to keep swine flu at bay. But that is what we are doing in Krishna consciousness. Daily, everyone is getting up early and then they are taking their bath, washing their hands and then making fresh fruit, fresh food and then offering to the Lord. So then, of course, we are pleasing Krishna, but in the other sense, we are also, you know, helping ourselves, right? We are keeping so many diseases at bay. So similarly, there are many organizations, they say that, you know, stop using leather products and then stop using cow products and everything. But they are trying to protect cows and all the other human beings, I mean, all the other animal beings as well. But eventually, we are doing the same thing. In fact, we are better ahead. Why? Because, you know, we are taking the milk from the cows and then we are protecting the cows as well. So this is the benefit of accepting the Krishna consciousness as well. And then, as you said, that we can keep all the diseases at bay as well. So, and then, there is also, you know, if we accept Krishna consciousness, then the person is always occupied with so many wonderful things like reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then his day is practically blissful. But the others come in, you know, they are addicted to so many things, like for example, video games. In China, like, you know, millions of children are affected by this internet and the video games and all. Practically, the entire night they are spending playing this video game and hooking onto the internet. But if we are in Krishna consciousness and then we know what is the ultimate aim of our life, and then naturally we are not addicted to any of the misgivings of this Kali Yuga. So this is a complete package. So Krishna consciousness is a complete package. Like, you know, if Krishna is satisfied, then everyone is satisfied. By accepting simply Krishna consciousness, one can become simply blissful. Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna and be blissful. That is 100% right. You know, one can be blissful. Not only himself, but the entire family can be blissful and the entire society and the entire country will be blissful. But just accepting this Krishna consciousness, the entire country can be saved. Right? So it says in Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter, it says, Yavanartha Udhavane Sarvataha Dampyododake Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmanasya Vijanitaha. So if, like, you know, Prabhupada knows the essence of all the Vedic literature. He is giving the essence of all the Vedic literature. When the purposes of a well can at once be served, the purposes can be served by a huge reservoir of water. Similarly, the purposes of the Vedas can be served by the person who knows behind them. Srila Prabhupada knows the purposes behind the Vedas, and he has given all this wonderful literature, and then by utilizing all this literature, we can definitely perform the Sankirtana Yajna very well, and then we can satisfy all the demigods, all our parents, our pitrus, and our country, our society, everyone can be benefited by just simply accepting Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada urges that, you know, simply chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, and then be blissful, see that everyone around you is also happy and you are also happily situated in this Kali Yuga. So with that, now I would like to end with one shloka. It says Krite yat jayato Vishnum Tretayam yajato makahi dvapare parichyarayam kalavsat hari sankirtana. Whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditating on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performing sacrifices, and in Dvapara Yuga by serving Lord Lotus Feet can at once be obtained in Kali Yuga by simply chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I would like to take any questions.